It's that time of the day where we talk A's and A's. And you know how they said, order, order. That's the guy in the House of Lords. But anyway, it's time for us to talk National Assembly matters. And today on A's and A's, I have Professor Richard Aduche Wokocha. He is a professor of law at the River State University in Port Hackett. Also being joined by Eugene Abels. He's making a comeback a few days after. because we're looking at, of course, the ongoing constitutional amendment, and many have queried why this amendment has been going on without the input of the average Nigerian, and what should be prioritized. Should your lawmaker know more than you in terms of what you need as a person? Well, these are the things that we're going to be looking at in today's conversation. Once again, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good evening.
Thank you for having us.
Good evening.
Good evening, Nigerians.
Thank you for joining us. Prof, I'm going to start with you because you know more of the legalese when it comes to this. The constitutional amendment has been going on. In fact, we hear that it's supposed to go until 2026, according to the National Assembly. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we amending that's going to take that long? But again, most importantly, what should be the due process or the procedure when it comes to constitutional amendments and, of course, carrying the people along? Let's start from there.
Well, primarily, the procedure is a regular procedure for lawmaking, except in a few occasions where the subject matter of the amendment involves boundary adjustment, where it involves amendment of Chapter 4 of the Constitution, which has to do with the fundamental rights and all of that, as well as Section 9, which deals with amendment. Except where those sections are involved, it's basically the usual process of lawmaking. There are concerns that may be expressed about public hearing and the rest of them. But these are all tools in the hands of the legislature for lawmaking. It basically involves, if it has to do with amending any section of the Constitution, fortunately, ours is a written and rigid Constitution. So it will involve proposal of the amendment by the National Assembly, any chamber of the National Assembly, mm-hmm. concurrence of the other chamber, mm-hmm. and ultimately approval of 2/3 of the Houses of Assembly in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. These are the basic requirements for that process. But whether they hold a public hearing or not is their decision. And I think that is why you are required to wash your eyes and send your best to the National Assembly, because you are committing to them the responsibility of making laws that will be binding on you and the amending existing laws that are within. However, the main purpose of public hearing is to ensure that the spirit of the people is reflected in the laws that are made, which is to say that the laws are in tandem with the feelings and thinking of the people. So public hearing helps them to take wise decision that will be reflective of the people's feeling, and not that it is something they must do before the law will be valid. So. Wow. As long as procedure is concerned, they can amend your constitution subject to the approval of 2/3 of the Houses of Assembly of the states of Nigeria. That's at least 2/3 of the states.
I don't want to speak nonsense English. I wanted to say I'm not understanding. But are you telling me that you and I have no say whatsoever in what my so-called representative or senator would want to amend in a constitution that's going to, at the end of the day, affect me and affect, you know, the country that I live in? You're telling me that I really don't necessarily have a say if they decide that I don't. In other words, if there's no public hearing, it doesn't matter.
That really is the meaning of vesting legislative power or competence in them.
Wow.
You have the right to choose the right people and to send them there. And if you are not satisfied with how much they are involving you, you have the right to choose new set of people at the next election. But once you have chosen them and they are assembled there, you have committed to them the responsibility of acting for you, making your laws and amending your laws.
In terms of prioritizing what they want to amend or what should be fixed, again, looking at where we are and the people who represent us, just as you continuously and emphatically maintain that, you know, we have to make sure that we put the right people there. But in this case, in Nigerian case, who the right people are is very subjective, because Eugene Abels can think he's the right man for the job and he pays everybody and gets the position and thinks he's the right man for the job, but then does not deliver on my behalf or anybody else's behalf because in his mind, he's the right person. And you also know that in this country, half the time, the things that they deliberate on the floor of the National Assembly or argue about are for personal interests. So where does that leave us? I know this question sounds like the first one, but please, educate us.
Sounds very much like a rhetorical question. Where does it leave us? It leaves us where we have landed ourselves.
Oh my goodness. Professor, are you still there?
Into the house. Now, yes, I'm here.
Okay,
can you
ahead.
Hear me?
Yes. We lost the connection.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah, it leaves us exactly where... Yeah, it leaves us exactly where we are. Once you have chosen, your responsibility is to choose right. Your responsibility is to reach out to your lawmaker, to lobby him to take the right position or to see what where you feel the pinch as his constituency and all of that. But the act of doing what has to be done, making the law and all of that, is his responsibility. You can only hold him responsible. By either saying he's not representing you well, you choose the option of recall, or you are not satisfied with his representation, you change him at the next election. But you can't go to the chamber to do anything. And the chamber will involve you where they think it is necessary.
Wow. Eugene, let me come to you.
Public hearing, of course.
Eugene, let me come to you as a representative of society and civil society organizations and those of us who are concerned citizens of this country. So for someone who's really been in the forefront of fighting for good governance, when you hear things like this, obviously it's a fact. It's in the Constitution, unfortunately. And one would have thought that these are the kinds of things that we'd want to tweak in order for us to really demonstrate the democratic process that we're all aiming to get 100% of. So in a case like this, where it looks like our arms are tied behind our backs and these guys would only call us to have a piece of the cake when they think it's necessary, more like throwing us a bone. How do we, because I mean, for example, now we're all crying and lamenting, but we still have to wait for elections to be able to do anything. You and I also know that the recall process can be a total mess. If they want to make it a mess for us. We've seen it happen before. The people of Kogi tried to recall, what's the dancing senator's name? Dino Malai.
Dino Malai.
Yes, and it didn't necessarily work. So, Eugene, do the people in this country, and looking at our constitution, do we even stand a chance of changing anything?
Yeah, Prof, I greet you.
Welcome
to you. You remember the last conversation we had, I brought up this thing that our lawmaking, it's faulty. Not that it's faulty, just as Prof has expressed in terms of constitutionalism, but it's faulty in terms of delivery to the people, for inclusiveness of the people. I said that for it to be inclusive, it has to be a bottoms-up approach, whereby you know what the people want and you know the things you want to amend. Between 1999 to to the 10th Assembly, over 600 laws have been amended or new ones introduced. But if you ask the average person on the street, he doesn't know what's going on. And for instance, if they had asked the people, we copied and pasted the nature of a democracy we run, but we have deliberately forgotten to to take some parts, the interactive parts.
Mm.
The interactive parts will have ensured that we will have amended the constitution that for you to be elected a legislator, whether it be at the local government, state or federal level, that you must have a modicum of education and ability to express yourself. For you to be there, and you must engage in debate, and the day they're voting for you, your photograph, not the party insignia, should be there. So people will know exactly who they are sending to these places. If you remember, the Labour Party, I think one of their candidates was a bus conduct, something, who's gone to the house. How will he fit in that conversation? His loyalty, he knows it's not to you, they were the people, because he just floated, people vote for parties and not for candidates. So the delivery system, the way we're running the corrupt, they're doing the right things, but it is not impacting on the people. There's no inclusiveness of the people into the democratic process. So people will not know, and they will not know their rights. If you don't know your rights, like what we say in Pidgin English, which you know no big pass. If you don't know your rights, how can you seek for enforcement?
So
we do not, in the present circumstance, we do not stand a chance. One other pressure group that could have helped us to pursue these things by creating, by going for, what do they call those class actions and so on, challenging aspects of the concern and explaining it to people, is Nigerian Bar Association. And unfortunately, like I say, every year they choose a city and go and party for 1 week. But they don't do that.
Prof, this is an affront. This is an affront to your constituency. Are you gonna take it?
Prof, let me set the ground rules. Prof is not allowed to speak against his constituency. I'll do that on his behalf. Please pardon him. He will deal with the technical. So, like I said, it took politicians to tell us that you did not require a qualification to be president of Nigeria. And for a nation that have produced so many lawyers, so many sound lawyers, I don't think it is nice and fair to the people. I'll leave it at that for now.
Talking about fairness, Professor, I'm coming back to you, obviously, because like Eugene said, many people don't know it. In fact, when I first dropped this conversation in a group, some people were like, they are doing constitutional amendments. When? Did they announce it? So it takes us to how removed we are from things and how these so-called representatives are not necessarily representing us, back to the recall process that you talked about. Even if we know how to go about it, because many people point fingers at the middle class, the likes of Eugene Abels, who can live on, you know, they can subscribe for DSTV, they can buy data, they can do Zoom with us, they can afford the rice that people cannot afford. So people expect that these guys should be the ones who are fighting the good fight for us, taking on these petitions and class action suits. But then there are also those who are on the other side of the divide who say the likes of Eugene Abel or the people in the middle class are the ones who are benefiting from these elites, these politicians. And so they'd rather sit in their corners and get contracts and, you know, just, you know, sit there and speak grammar, but never really do anything on behalf of the people. So where does the fairness come in here? And again, how do we get these class action suits or even CSOs? Because I'm seeing a CSO organization and a representative that I've always respected screaming that, you know, a certain governor who's been docked by the EFCC should not be docked because the EFCC did not go through due process.
There are two worlds that exist side by side, and one is the world of procedure, and the other is the one of substance. When we talk of representation, well, I have just told you what the procedural requirements are for amending the constitution and how we play little or no part. In fact, we actually play no part in it, because even when you have public hearing, there is nothing in the books that says they must say what you have adopted in the public hearing. You are not part of the process. The purpose is only to get them better informed on where the people's feeling lies. It is their responsibility to do what needs to be done. But I agree completely with Senior Eugene. By the way, Mimi, thank you for bringing Senior Eugene to this show. Senior Eugene is my senior in Africa Grammar School, secondary school.
Oh,
we haven't seen for a very long time. Thanks for bringing us together here. So, thank you, Senior. As he said, representation in Nigeria is very inadequate. And you know why. We have talked about this over and over again. You can only get the quality of leadership you produce. And so far, you know that in every election, Oga writes the list of candidates who will go. The primaries procedure that leads up to the election is not one that is open. Mr. Governor decides who and who will go in the state to the House of Assembly and to the National Assembly. And so their loyalty lies not with the people or their constituency, but with Mr. Governor. Mm. So I'm sure you're not in doubt as to what is behind the drama you have playing out in states like Rivers State with respect to where loyalties lie and who they represent. Mm. So in that kind of scenario, you can hardly talk of fair representation for the people, because the focus of the representatives is not the well-being of their constituents, it's not the well-being of their constituency, but Oga's instruction. So you will get the kind of quality of representation that we are getting in Nigeria in that circumstance. Where government is not answerable to the people, or where people do not inform who emerges in government, government cannot be answerable to the people in that environment. So effective democracy means effectively putting the lot of deciding who goes where in the hands of the people. And we do not have that right now. So for me, I'm not surprised that you're not getting a fair representation, so to speak, one that makes you the center of decisions and one that puts your consideration and your well-being at the center of every decision that is taken at the various chambers. It is not surprising because, practically speaking, we are not producing the legislators. They are foisted on us by the prevailing political system, which has taken power away from the people.
Eugene.
Via the delegate system.
Exactly.
Delegate
You've taken the question out of my mouth, because I was going to talk about, I've had arguments on my show with my colors where people would say, we cannot let this happen in the PDP. This cannot happen in the APC. And then I ask them, are you members of this political party? If you're not, then how are you supposed to comment on the issues that are happening within the party? You have no right, because you can't vote. You're not a part of the delegate system. There's no direct, connection with those parties. So they decide whatever they want to happen in those parties. And then somebody says, oh, so can all of us join political parties? Yes, but then it doesn't mean that you must join the PDP. It doesn't mean that you must join the APC. But there's that thing in our mindset that, you know, when it comes to being part of the political process, and I mean internal party political processes, we don't want to. We wait for the elections. So, Eugene, let me ask you this question, because, again, you're CSO. Have we overly electionalized democracy as opposed to democratizing it? Because when we talk about democracy, all we think about is elections. Go and get your PVC. Which party are you going to vote for? How about everything else that happens, the whole moving part of the democratization process that leads up to the election? Because the election is just one part of the democratic system. Is it that we're so raped and so removed from it that we're not even involved and we don't care? We just wait for elections and hope that the magic happens there.
Yeah, like what I said the last time I was on this program, I said that the people who built Nigeria were British boys and girls in their 20s. And when we copied what they taught us, we had a very robust First Republic, a robust Second Republic, where the party held supreme. There was nothing like delegate election. You needed to go and meet your members of your party and canvass for support, whether it be in the North, East, North, West, North, South. And today, that's not the case. Everything we've been given, we've thrown to the dogs. Today, elections are just a means to grab power. All the other indices do not matter. So you can imagine that even a budgetary process which we inherited from the colonial era, where it came from the top, we're still running it. Our budgeting process should be bottoms up. It should be bottom. Ask the people what they need. You can't sit in Abuja and assume the man in the canal firm needs an airport. No, he all might need might just be a borehole. The bottom is to save you money and so on. So concerning the democracy which we mount and so on, the major tenets and the beauty of it are all thrown away. That's why I'm saying that for this, whatever amendments we need to make, we need to look at the system. We spoke about the political parties that day. The law says that they must declare their sources of funding and make their books open. I expect that their membership should be in line with current realities, whereby your name and your name are attached and it's electronic, not when elections are near and people begin to fight. Is it not a shame 20 years after, like you, there will be no factional leader from the primaries or whatever that is going, that we still have factions in parties? It's an embarrassment. It's a shame. A clear deviation from the norm or state attorney that will not engage in
your audio is going Eugene, your audio is going on and off. I don't know why that is. We're hearing
can
a few
hear
things
that?
Yes, we can hear you now.
It is an aberration that you elect the members.
Oh gosh.
And they will not have debates.
Yeah, Eugene, we're having issues with your audio. We hear bits of what you're saying and the others, they go to the Marines. I don't know why that is. They don't want you to say this thing. You have to say it before we go on a break.
Can you hear?
I heard, can you hear? But the me now, we can't hear it.
So I probably need to record.
Yes, you need to go and come back in and maybe we can hear you. Well, Lagos, we're still talking about, of course, the ongoing constitutional amendment. And I still have with me Professor Richard Aduche Wokocha, who is a professor of law at the Rivers University in Port Hackett. Also, Eugene Abels is the executive director of the Extra Step Initiative. He's also a CSO organization member. He's also one person I call a political rasta. We'll take a break. When we come back, the phone lines are going to be open. Ask all the questions that you need, the clarity that you need. And maybe it's time for us to seek for solutions to having better representation, better leadership, and good governance. Maybe it's time that we move from mouthing it to beginning to ask for it and push for it in reality. It's still A's and nays, and of course we're talking about happenings on the floor of the National Assembly. That's what we do every Thursday. My guests will take a breather. When we come back from this 10-minute break, I'll be taking your thoughts and comments. Well, we're live facebook.com/Nigeria Info FM. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. If you're listening from outside of the country, you want to be part of the conversation, we're on Skype, Nigeria Info FM. And of course, you can send me a WhatsApp message. I'm Mary Anacon. We'll be right back after these messages.
That special secret that awakens taste buds. Mouth watering wonder with awesome aroma. Terra Seasoning Cube.
Terra Seasoning Cube turns your meals into a masterpiece.
Unwrap joy, unleash taste. Hey, hey. Come cook with Terra Cubes. Come cook with Terra.
And yes, we're back. It's still A's and A's on Hard Facts, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from our audiovisual studios right here in Itumiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos. I'm Mary Anacon. Eugene Abels, Professor Richard Aduche Wokocha, still here with us talking about the ongoing constitutional amendments, the implications, what it means for you and I, and how we can get involved or not. And how things are flying over our heads, and if there be any solutions on the radar. Well, the phone lines are open. I'd like to hear from you, Lagos. Our guests have been dropping gems. It's time for you to ask questions, comment, and of course, try and make sense of all of the conversations that we've had in the past minute. 0201465 7190. That's 0201465 7190. We're live facebook.com/Nigeria Info FM 99.3. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. You could also join us if you're listening from outside of the country. Call us via Skype or Nigeria Info FM, or you can send me a WhatsApp message. I'd like to read from you. Well, the phone lines are already blowing up. I guess that you all have something to say. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Marianne, good evening.
Good evening.
I want to ask my name.
All right, go ahead, please.
I want us to be a bit tutored by your guest about, for instance, this. What is the amendment for now that is going on the INEC issue? The INEC they sell us out. Is there anything on to do any amendment?
Okay.
To that?
All right. Okay.
Excuse me, please. We are talking about police reform. When the former president spoke on the public, he said he did that when he called for the amendment of the Constitution that many people accepted. What can we do to get him to give us the product of the conclusion of his arranged constitutional amendment? Then,
all right.
Then.
Thank you very much for calling. Again, just so you know, the professor and Eugene are not part of the constitutional amendment. Like we said, there's not been an open forum where we, the public, have been asked to be part of it. We're not participating. And that's because they think they're doing it on our behalf. And so we can't really tell what they're going to do about INEC or what they're going to do about, you know, the police and police reforms. But he's asked an interesting question about, you know, Goodluck Jonathan's constitutional amendment and what he yielded. Who wants to take that question?
I think Prof should take it.
Prof, okay.
So what's...
Oh, gosh. Prof's audio is bad.
What's his question, Mimi?
Okay, so he's asking... he's saying rather that, you know, Goodluck Jonathan said that, you know, he asked for a constitutional amendment and it was done. So he's saying that what was the outcome of that Goodluck Jonathan constitutional amendment, the one that happened under his watch? The internet is not being fair to you now, Professor.
I can't say there was any serious outcome. They called out a year session and the proposals that were made by that constitutional conference were not implemented before the end of that administration. So they ended there. Nothing has happened.
It's gathering dust somewhere, actually. That national confab. Hello. I'm so sorry. Do call us back if that was you. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, Action Lady. Good evening.
Good evening.
Prof, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Eugene, my brother.
Greeting. Yeah, Chief Eugene, good evening, sir. Our own type of democracy here, I've been asking, how do we do away with this double D politics? Dirty and deadly. Sir, you recall the other day, the election in Senegal. Did you hear how many people that died in that election, sir?
Nobody.
Do you have record of people that died?
Nobody.
Uh-huh. But Nigeria owned, 25th of February last year, 21 people died. All in the name of election in Nigeria. And we say we are practicing democracy and our vote count. From 2015 to date, this double D politics we are playing in Nigeria, unless Nigeria, we are more in number than the members of the parties. I always say it. I have a choice to vote any candidate of my choice. I don't need to belong to any of the parties. So this double D politics, sir, Prof, people like you, how do we put a stop to this? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll take another question. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Hello, good evening, Gita.
Koboko.
I need a constitutional amendment that will give me state resource control, referendum, social security for the youth, like in London, like in America, and USA, and equal rights and justice.
You need to write to the member representing you, your constituency or your senatorial district.
Since 1999, when you come back from America, the constitution has it affected you? No, has it affected you? So yeah.
Okay. Koboko.
It's okay. I have everything benefited for you.
Okay, because I can't hear you very well, I'm sure you're asking if the amendment has benefited me. But, Prof, I'm going to let you answer the very first question from Mr. Chris about double D politics. And then, of course, Eugene, you'd answer, help me. Maybe I did not answer Koboko well.
Well, on the...
Oh, your internet is going on and off again, Prof. Can you hear me? Prof, are you there?
Dangerous and seeing the challenge we have is challenging weak rules. Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good, good. Now, I was saying the main challenge we have is that of weak institutions, and I want to use irresponsible, not in the sense of being rascally, mm-hmm. but in the sense of people who are not being responsible to those to whom they owe responsibility. Representation that is not very responsible and weak institutions. Now, if our legislative chambers were strong and not weak, and that comes from where they represent constituencies, and constituencies' well-being is their focus and concern. If it was so, we would have had reforms that would have made it possible for elections to be without the double D character that the caller in talked about. So it's all about that. What prevents us from having, I have always asked this question, why can't we go the whole hog on electronic voting? How can we trust the machine with our money in the bank, trust the machine with a whole lot of other things we do, but we can't trust it with voting? Why can't we do that and eliminate the entire room for thuggery and killing of people? Because we count these killings from the process, the electioneering process. Now, if there is not going to be room for ballot box snatching, if there's not going to be room for killing people and taking the result sheet and rewriting them, if we can do real-time direct electronic voting, we can stay in our houses and vote, and there will be no need for the boys, and there will be no need for ballot box snatching. So that is a known way by which we can use technology to deal with that particular problem. At the moment, we are not doing so. Somehow we have entrusted everything to IT except voting. Somehow it's so close to our heart that we can't trust that the machines will enable us to do it well. We insist this must be done the outmoded way, the way that will give us room for human interference to produce the results we want to produce. So if you have strong institutions, they will make laws without looking back at what Oga thinks. And those laws will be laws that will guarantee the vote of the voter and ensure that we get out of this double D situation. But if the institutions remain weak the way they are, I am afraid that we are just going to continue that way until something gives way.
Going around in circles. Eugene.
Yeah, for me, the weak institutions are run by civil servants. Civil servants are the problems of Nigeria, not the politicians. They are supposed to be the bureaucracy. Some of them are in uniform, some of them are in agbada. The ones in uniform are the army, police, navy, EFCC, ICPC, and the rest. Some wear wig and black gowns. The ones without uniform are the PAMSECs and all of that. They are responsible for making our institutions weak, because without their chief accounting officers for these institutions, them. Now, for us, the people, we have forgotten, like I said earlier, that we own this nation and the Commonwealth is ours. We need to begin to set agenda that the next election will not happen except we amend the rules to read like this, that there must be debates, mm-hmm. that you must have minimum qualification. We'll get people to read the Constitution. We'll read it. Constitution is not difficult to read. Look at sections that are relevant and important for us and begin to make effective demands. A lot of people don't know there's something called constitutional assembly at the local government level, which is supposed to begin at that level to even act as oversight on local government chairman. We're shouting at the man at the center, Tinubu, but be by your next door, there's a constituent assembly. There's an executive there, yeah. So it's all, we need to set the standard and set the mind. We need to set the expectations and demand of it. If we need to set the election place, we have to do it to demand that which is right to be done. We must demand service for whatever, because they are paid and it is not free. So because if we demand for those kind of, if we demand stand and set the standards, you won't come and be spending $160 million to buy a Jeep when people are hungry. It's because we believe that they own us. Less than 50,000 people own 200 and something million people. No, we need to begin to make the laws that are there, if you like, amend up to that until we begin to make deliberate demands. Look at what's going on in America today. For the past 3 days, Ivy League schools, where students are very comfortable, very top of the class students, are stopping school sessions to take place because they think what their government is doing is not right to support a particular nation that is abroad, because they think it's not in consonance with the tenets of the democracy and what they represent to the world. This is the kind of thing, this was what we used to do, Prof knows, back then in the 80s. We're winding down by age. But like, we need to compel this system to work. Nobody's going to do it for us. And it must begin from the local government to the states, to the federal government. Like Prof said, look at River State. The 27 House of Assembly members that changed parties, they did not consult their constituencies. They only consulted one man who probably wrote their names and who they owed their allegiance to. It's an aberration, and we must stop these things from happening.
Okay. Let me see if we can read one more message, because we have just 2 minutes and we have to wrap up. This one is saying, which country in the world is practicing 100% IT elections? In advocating for technology, we must not forget that technology is still dependent on human input and susceptible to human manipulation. Franklin in Abulegba sent us this one. And someone here says, I want to know from the prof if there's any amendment as regards cross-carpeting, especially when it favors the ruling party. Prof, I'm going to allow you answer this last question before we go, because we have just 1 minute. 1 minute.
As Mimi said, we are not aware of even what they intend to amend. They are going to be amending until, say, 2 years' time, as they said. So we're not aware of the entire thing they intend to work on. But there is no law on cross-carpeting beyond what it is now, which I think is adequate. So it's a function of our implementing what is in the law. What is in the law right now is okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, let me jump in here, concerning what they said about using technology to drive elections.
20
it
seconds.
Is embarrassing that, yes, it's embarrassing that we shut down a whole nation to conduct an election. Do you shut down the nation to go and collect your money from the bank or from a POS? No. You have your NIN, you have your BVN. We can tie them on and make sure these things are done from wherever you are. We can categorize and geolocate your votes and to the letter. We've done it in other climes. And other things in Nigeria, it can be done. Let people stop deceiving themselves.
Well, great conversation. I did promise that this was going to be very riveting. I want to say thank you, Eugene Abels, Professor Richard Aduche-Wokocha. Thank you so much for
Thanks
being
for
here on A's and Nays. Hopefully we can bring you back again to talk about something else. Conversations like this are never ending. We have to keep talking and educating ourselves so that we know what to do and who to put in those offices. Thank you once again, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Prof, I hear you.
All right. Well, that's the show today, Lagos. I want to thank you all for participating and being part of the conversation. But don't stop listening to the rest of our programs. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, MIMIEYO, or just search for Mary Andy Cocoon everywhere else. Bye-bye, Lagos. Love you.